This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 110 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast. I'm not sure what we're going to get into this week. Normally, I do these intros after we record, so I know what we talked about. I'm doing this one before we start, so I have no idea what we're going to get into. The last few times that we've all three been in here, we've got into a little bit of everything, so who knows where it's going to go. Stay tuned. You'll find out when we do. Before we get into whatever we're going to get into, though, don't forget about our partners for the podcast. One of those is Grandpa Ray Outdoors. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for whitetail deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods with over 14 different plot blends to choose from. You're not going to have any trouble finding what you're looking for, whether you want spring blends, fall blends. They've got grains, switchgrass, and then liquid fertilizer soil test kits. When it comes to food plotting, you name it, they've pretty much got it. They're real knowledgeable, too. John has been in the business since 1991, and then they started Grandpa Ray Outdoors in 2015. So they've actually been at it as GRO for a while now. But with that knowledge comes great customer service when it comes to food plotting, because if you have any questions about what blends would be best for your specific property, you can just call them, ask them whatever you need to ask, and they're going to have the answers for you. So we've used their seed on our own properties. We put them on client properties and always been really happy with the results we've got from them. So if you want to check them out, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com. Use the discount code RHOPODCAST. That's all lowercase, no space, and you'll get 5% off your order. We're also a dealer for them, so if you want to save some money on shipping, just let me know. Send me a message, stop by and see me, and I'll get you hooked up there. Our other partner for the podcast, if you guys don't know, is Rodney Hawkins. Now, if you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, maybe you want somewhere you can put your own food plots in, use some of that Grandpa Ray seed, you need to talk to Rodney. He grew up hunting and fishing in our area, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. If you guys haven't heard of them, they're not your average real estate company. While they do recreational properties as well, or recreational, why do they do residential properties as well? They mostly do recreational properties, selling over $85 million worth of ground in 2022 alone. I'm not going to get through this one. I'm going to have to update that soon because this is the last episode of 2023. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to get with Rodney and we'll have to change that, see what they sold this past year. But they've got agents like Rodney all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, anything that might be available, or even just getting your own property listed, maybe you've got a piece you want to downgrade or upgrade, he's got buyers as well. You can call him at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors, where he's got products from Radix Hunting. He's got camo dust. He's got Tacticam trail cameras, and he's trying to add new stuff all the time as well. So if you're interested in any of that or seeing what he has coming up, go to their Facebook page. You can send them a message there. It's RG Outdoors. You can email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. If you're on social media, give us a follow. Facebook and Instagram are the two that I use. I think we have a Twitter page, but I never use it. I haven't used Twitter much at all in the last, I don't know, 5 years. Anyway, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, we're Ridge Hunter Outdoors. On those, you guys can follow us there, get some content. We do have a Facebook group. It's a private group called RHO Podcast Patrons. I want to do a giveaway in there soon. So if you're not a part of that group, go request to join. You just got to answer a couple of questions, and then you'll be in. And then you'll have a chance at whatever giveaway we decide to do. RichHunterOutdoors.com is our website. If you guys find anything on there that you like, whether that's the apparel, whether it's the tarsal sprays or the calming spray or any seed that we might have on there, you can use the discount code RHOPOD, that's all caps, no space, and get 10% off there. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, follow us, like, leave a review, whatever it lets you do. That helps us out a bunch. And on YouTube, same way, you guys can go to the YouTube channel, it's Ridge Hunter Outdoors. That's where the Fall Pursuit Show is at. We'll have another episode of that coming up here in the next couple weeks, probably. Be the last one before really the finale. We're going to do a recap episode on there, but you'll be able to see that on YouTube. Ridge Hunter Outdoors, make sure you subscribe. We're right close to 3,500 if we haven't hit it yet. As mm-hmm. of today, it was like 3,480 or something like that. So mm-hmm. we appreciate everybody who has subscribed. If you haven't, let's hit 3,500 before 12 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll call that good. Okay. All that's over with. Let's get into whatever we're going to get into on episode number 110. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. I'll tell you later. But I just did the intro, and I was saying we need to get to 3,500, and Blake just looked it up, and we did it. You guys are fast.
Good job, guys.
You hit it before this even came out. I guess I shouldn't have said that because this comes out Monday anyway, so our listeners are intuitive.
It's like they're listening.
Maybe they're smarter than us.
They have to be. If they're not, there's no way they would have figured out how to find our podcast and get it turned on.
The bar is not set too high.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Let's be honest here. No, that's cool though, because I wanted to be at like 1,000 this year, mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, we might as well hit 2,000. Mm-hmm. That's 3,500.
Yep, that's pretty sweet.
Imagine if we had kill shots.
No joke, man. Oh, man. No joke. Hey, we got one bow kill coming up. Whenever the next episode is going to be, there is a doe that did get shot, and I even got new felt for my QAD in. So the last couple of days, even though I haven't been able to draw back on anything, it would have been quieter.
Good.
I got close yesterday evening. So I've been hunting with Dusty the last 3 days, and he's got food, which is what you need late season. Like, we had that cold front come in, and we talk about it all the time. When it comes to late season, if you got the food, you're going to have the deer. Mm-hmm. And he says it every year. They'll hold a certain amount of deer throughout the season, but then late season, they just pile in. And he gets new deer all the time because they have the food in the area.
Yeah.
I was sitting over a 2-acre bean field with some green on the end of it where I was hunting the last 2 days before today when we had the colder weather. And I probably saw more deer in 2 days than I saw all season.
Wow.
Like combined. It was nuts. There was a point I told you guys where I went back and counted today. There were 12 deer in frame at the same time. Mm-hmm. In one little section of this bean field, probably half of them bucks. Mm-hmm. The two biggest ones were just 2.5-year-old. One of them might have been 3, but I'm probably 2.5. But it is wild the last couple of days. And then today went again and saw 10 or 12. And this was little, like, I couldn't see 40, 50 yards probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe 60 yards in one direction. So, like, it's just been really good sits the last few days. But with late season, you got the food. That's where they're at. Anyway, yesterday I had a buck pop out because Dusty'd sent me a list before I went hunting with him. I was like, I want to know what deer you don't want shot, mm-hmm. because I don't want to go to your property and shoot a deer that, like, okay, maybe if I'm at the cabin, a 4.5-year-old deer that's 140, 150, I'm going to kill it. Mm-hmm. If I go to your place and that's a deer that you say, I really want to let him go another year because I've got, you know, I don't know, 160 over here that I really don't want to kill, but I will if he comes by. So let's just say... So I told Dusty to give me a list what deer he didn't want me to shoot.
Yeah.
And so he sent me like a handful of bucks. One of them was probably 3.5. That's just a stud. Mm-hmm. And a couple more that are like 4.5. He's like, we want to see what they do next year kind of thing. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then he sent me a handful, several bucks that are like 5.5 plus, mm-hmm. that are not giants. I mean, a couple of them were really, really nice. Mm-hmm. But mostly deer that are like really solid bucks that are just old enough to where it's not, doesn't make a difference if you give them another year. They're fully mature, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So I ended up seeing one of those deer the first night way on the other end of the field. And then the second night, that half-racked buck came out that I showed you guys on the camera. Mm-hmm. Just a big frame deer, 4.5-year-old buck. That his other side didn't match, but he ended up breaking it off anyway. So, obviously, he was an easy pass. Wait till next year. Hopefully, he comes back and matches both sides, because if he did, he'll be a stud. Mm-hmm. And then I'm watching all these deer, and this is shortly after I've got all these deer in frame. Some of them work down in front of me. That half-rack buck's like 50 yards away, right out in front of the blind. And then there were a couple at like 20, so I couldn't really move because there's a ton of deer around, and it was fairly still at that time. And they were looking at something behind me, and then they would kind of look up at the blind, and they'd look around again, and I just wasn't moving. Finally, they worked off, and I peeked around the blind, and there's standing a 7-point, like 3.5-year-old that I saw the night before, who looked pretty good, really pretty framed deer, just not real big. I actually think he was an 8 and he broke one off. But anyway, and then beside him up pops this other one that's a 7 that makes him look considerably smaller.
That one's a big 7.
Yeah, and I was like, hey. Like that, he was probably 120 yards at that point. But I don't know how long he'd been there because I was sitting still, and I just finally peeked around back at those deer, and there he popped his head up. Mm-hmm. So I finally got my phone up on the camera and sent a picture to Dusty. And, yeah, I got the safety off. I got the camera up and took a picture and sent it to Dusty. I was like, hey, do you know this deer? And there's another one around there that looks similar, but his sides are flipped. He's like, well, it's not that one. He said, no, he looks like a bonus buck to me. And I was like, well, I haven't seen his body yet, but if he's mature, mm-hmm. I'm going to kill him. Knowing that, one, he's mature, two, you don't know him.
Yeah.
Like, he going to die.
Yeah.
If he comes in, he's at least going to get shot. So he...
at.
Yes. So eventually, he's the last buck in the field, and it's getting down, man, the last 10 minutes or so. And I don't know if he heard something or what, but he comes trotting at me, like coming pretty hard. So I get everything ready, and then he hits the edge of the beans, which is about 50, between 50 and 55 yards, and he just stops. And he stood there for 5 minutes, probably. I have 6 minutes of video, and the first part of it was him coming in. So I bet he stands there for 5 minutes. Just looking for whatever he heard, I guess. I don't know. He never did see it, apparently. But he got to there. I needed him to come 20 more yards. Mm-hmm. And then he turned and went off and made that circle at about 55 yards and then left.
Man.
And it was dark. But that's the – another thing I told Dusty was I've seen the deer I shot, your buck that you missed, when you missed him, and then that goofy buck were the three mature bucks that I'd seen from the stand all season – I've doubled my output in the last 3 days of seeing mature bucks because mm-hmm. I'd seen three of them, that half-rack buck, the one I was going to shoot, and then that other one mm-hmm. who was a real – he's kind of goofed up, but he was a nice deer. I definitely would have shot him. He said he's probably 7.5 or 8.5.
Man.
But this deer that I saw yesterday, very nice 7 that I would love to have a shot at. But anyway, I didn't end up seeing him tonight. Still a good hunt, but what I was going to tell you about tonight's hunt is – had some does come by, and I'm in a blind in the corner of this timber, and he's got pass mode, right? So it's not, like, the most ideal for filming and hunting, but make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So the first does come by, and they go right down beside me. And then, I don't know, it was probably 10 minutes later, these other three got up, and they're piddling around over... They must have been bedded there because they were browsing around for, like, 45 minutes. Eventually, they all worked their way out, and there's four of them, I think. Three or four of them. And then I look up and I see something a little bit bigger. Like I could tell it was a bigger body deer coming. And then I heard him grunt. Well, I saw antlers through the trees, and I picked my binoculars up and looked at him through the timber. And well, he's a younger buck, but he coming in, he was grunting. And he got on one of those little does, and he nudged her and bumped her off, right? And then he got over there, and he stopped, and he started looking at this doe, and he lip curled, and this doe just immediately squatted and pissed all over herself, like, leave me alone. And he was standing there looking at her. He did a great big old lip curl. It was like licking his lips, looking at her. She stopped and pissed and ran off, and then he chased one of the smaller ones off, and they were gone. But I just thought that was hilarious. He just stopped right there and looked at her, and she was like, nope. Which is, they were doing that yesterday, too, actually. That big half-rack buck was bumping does around, looking for one that he could mount. None of them were receptive. And
they were just hungry.
Yes. And then that 7-point actually walked that buck off when he came in. And then he was bumping around some does, too. And, of course, the younger ones were. But it was interesting that the mature bucks, just like we talked about last week, and they were smaller does, like the bigger mature does, except for one 2.5-year-old buck, they didn't really mess with the bigger does at all. Like, they would nudge the little ones around. Like, they knew that those would be the ones that were left. It seemed mm-hmm. like they were checking them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought that was interesting since we just came off that about the second rut and
yep.
how there's no such thing. And
ta-da.
Yeah. Heck, for me, this was better than the first rut.
Man.
Yeah. We did have that. So, did you ever watch real close the video of the buck I shot after he goes up the pond bank?
Before you shot him?
Yes. You saw him. You zoomed in on him. Mm-hmm. He was over there getting a drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes up, and you can hear me say, go right. Well, you said you want to grunt at him. And I turned, so I wasn't looking at the deer anymore. But if you watch the video, he actually turns towards us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he was probably going to come around there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then that doe is back there in the weeds with him on the pond bank.
I remember I could see the doe.
Yep. So I think, I got to thinking about it. They may have been coming anyway.
Yeah.
The grunt obviously helped because he was looking for...
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah.
Whatever grunted at him. I don't think they'd have came that quick. Or maybe they don't even come south at all. Maybe they cut straight where that big doe did.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, had I not shot at him there with that doe south, had we seen her earlier, maybe he comes back through to her. I don't mm-hmm. think he would have left her. But anyway, why I thought of that was probably the two days of the rut that I saw was when I went with you, and then I did have one decent sit up at the North Farm where I saw those younger bucks. But mm-hmm. yeah, I got to thinking about that. Like, yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to not shoot at him.
Yeah.
I think even if I knew that doe was there, I'd probably still shoot at him where I did. But like, if it didn't work out or something, or if he happened to slip by, I wonder if he wouldn't have came back, because I don't think he'd have left her.
Nah.
He was with her.
Yeah.
He probably, had he got all the way around, he probably would have came back around us on the east side.
Yeah.
I would guess. Unless she followed him over there. And I don't think she was going to, because she was still 30 yards back there, mm-hmm. 40 yards back in the brush when I shot him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if you'd ever watched that close and saw, because when he comes up off the pond, he actually turned right anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, they may have done the same thing that Big Doe did.
Yeah.
Never got a shot at him, but I think they were probably coming that way anyway.
Yeah. Because the big doe, she just went on west, didn't mm-hmm. she?
That was the first deer we saw that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't know. That's just a thought I had.
Yeah.
Stuff you think about after you, you know, shoot one and don't find it. Not that you would know about that.
I just miss.
Yeah. And then John Dudley over here in the corner.
No, I've missed my fair share of them.
I was thinking... You know, we got the cowboy. Jeff is Uncle Jeff. You ain't got a nickname yet. I was thinking Rico Suave from when you had your glasses on and your chest hair popping out of your quarter zip shirt.
Yeah.
But I don't know. One of these days you'll catch one.
That's where we're getting all the subscriptions from.
That is probably right. You got a compliment tonight on your personality, so. I don't know if that was a backhanded compliment to anything else.
This might be bad. I don't think I want to know right now.
I'll tell you after. But they said they liked watching you on the show. Someone was talking about watching the show, and they said they liked watching you for your reaction and whatnot when you kill those deer.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
That's an improvement.
You're the personality guy. I don't know what that means for everything else. I'm not anything, so... I'm just the producer. I don't kill anything. I don't film anything. I don't have any deer. I'm
telling you, my luck's going to be running out.
I don't know. You had pretty good luck this year.
Yeah.
Between what you shot and then going with Nate.
It was incredible.
Going with me, my bad luck clearly outweighed your good luck, but yeah.
It was incredible. I'm telling you, it's going to run out, though. That's just how it is.
It might. I don't know. You had a pretty good duck hunt today.
Shh.
I didn't say where. Down in Arkansas. I can't believe you made it back this quick.
Set the cruise to 85 and you can go anywhere.
Yeah. You can get from Arkansas to Kansas in no time.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, the last few days have been fun because, like I said, I've been seeing deer. And it's because there is food there and there's deer there to be had. But it's... We were talking about it. Me and Dusty were talking about it. He's got, a bunch of bucks that are like 6.5+, 7.5+. And he was talking about, like, the reason is they get to 4.5, and they're like, We don't really want to shoot them. We'll let them go to 5.5. Well, then either they hit 5.5 and they didn't really make the jump you wanted them to, so you wait till they're 6.5. Or he said a lot of times when they get 5.5 and 6.5, you can't kill them. Mm-mm. They're just so hard to kill.
Yeah.
He said that they make it to 7.5 because you didn't shoot them at 4. Mm-hmm. And then there's that 2-year where they're 5 and 6 that it's really hard to kill them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they get to 7 and 8 and 9 and they're not.
You got just
bigger,
don't care.
You've got bigger deer to hunt. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, yeah, that's what he was talking about. He said once they hit like 7.5, 8.5, it's like their core area just shrinks so much.
Mm-hmm.
He said he doesn't necessarily think it's that they move more, but they're not leaving a certain area, so they're way more visible. And then, like, yeah, I made the comment you did. He's like, yeah, it's like the deer he shot was a 9-year-old buck, the one he bucked out on. And he said that dude didn't have a care in the world when he came out. He said he thinks he would have had a harder time with a mature doe out there. Like, this dude just came out, didn't look at him, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like that old dog that lays around on the porch. They're kind of lazy. They don't go very far. Mm-hmm. But then, like, they've been doing that same thing every day for 8 years and never had any issues. So why would they be?
Yeah.
Yep. That was like my buck last year. Like, he had no care in the world about nothing. He mm-hmm. just, I'm going to eat this food here and just be happy.
Like I've always done every day my whole life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? And my point in that was a lot of these deer that he have, like the ones I was telling you about, 150 might be the biggest one, you know. It's and I was just reading an article in North American Whitetail talking about how, like, even these bucks that make it to a certain age, it's so rare that you get them over 140, 150. Mm-hmm. Like, you can grow them to 6.5, 7.5, 8.5. So many of them are just not going to make mm-hmm. a Boone and Crockett buck. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really rare. I think that article said something like 15% of mature bucks will be, I forget, 150 or better or something that said like that, mm-hmm. which is crazy to think about because, you know, a lot of people think that, well, you just let them get older, then you'll have the 200-inch deer or whatever. It's not always the case. You got to have a combination of the genetics, of course, and you got to have the habitat is more important, as important as everything, anything, and the buck-to-doe ratio.
And good weather.
Yeah. I mean, even a year like this year where you don't have any rain, that's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you see it this year or not, maybe even next year. You know, that could have a 2-year effect of having a big drought like this and the available browse that they've got and just their nutrition overall. And like I said, even if they maybe made a jump or did okay this year, well, if they were not as healthy as they could have been and they weren't feeling well and they weren't getting out and browsing as much or running around in the rut or whatever, it might hurt them for next year too. But anyway, there's just so much that goes into growing a big deer. And I thought the last couple days and then reading that article made me think about that, like how many of them don't make 150 or better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the deer population being so out of like, so high right now
mm-hmm.
affects rack size because there's not as much nutrition out there for them to eat. Oh, right, for now.
Sure. Yeah, and they're not going to stop eating because there's a bunch of them around.
Mm, no.
Yeah. They don't know that.
Yeah,
they're just going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. That's what they do to survive. So that, I mean, they'll do it to the point of killing themselves,
mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. you know, or hurting their nutrition like you're talking about. And not only that, but, like, the buck to doe, I think, is incredibly out of whack most places. Like, it's that same article I was reading, the guy said he'd observed, like, up to 1 to 8 buck to doe in areas, and people were like, biologists and stuff were giving him crap for it. Like, nah, there's no way there's that, and, like, you shouldn't be publishing stuff like that. Like, there's areas around here where it's probably worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you take that block where you killed High Rise.
Mm-hmm.
There are 25 does out there or something like that, you said, yeah, the other night.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't
25
see,
deer.
There was 34 deer or dots out there with yeah. my thermal I could count, but I can't see racks at that point.
But when you go out there and
when I was out there deer hunting and scouting this summer, there was 25 deer just come out of the feedlot. Mm-hmm. So, and they're all does.
Right.
And fawns. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is my doe population just healthy.
Yeah, right. So, and that's a factor to that antler growth too.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of that goes into it, but it's also like all the guys that you hear say, you know, it's easy to kill 150-inch deer in Illinois or Iowa or whatever. Like, they're not around every corner, even if you let them grow to that age.
Mm-hmm.
Even in, again, like that case there where I've been the last few days, where they have habitat-wise, everything they need, they've got food. Like, those deer there have as much food as any deer around, and they just ain't making it.
Mm-hmm.
there's so much that goes into it. I think, like we talked about before, giving them the age structure is your best chance still, like passing those deer, because if they don't make it a 6.5, they're not going to make it a 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well let them grow, but it's just showing that it doesn't.
Do you think the ones that could potentially make it are getting shot at 3 and 2 around here?
Oh, some of them for sure.
I'm thinking that's most of the
deal. Definitely during gun season.
When you see a 140-inch 3-year-old, 145, that's your one that's probably going to make it.
Yep.
And he gets shot at 3.5.
Yep.
And these are the 150s that you're seeing at 6 and 5, or probably the 130-inch, 125-inch 3-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I think you're probably right, because I think it's by 4, they say like 95% of their antler growth is already there or whatever, but by 3, it's like, what, 60 or 70% or something like that? So if you're talking 70% done, well, if they're at 130, that's what you're looking at. If they're 140, close to 150 as a 3-year-old, those are your deer. And I do think, too, that if you have a deer that makes a jump from 2 to 3 and he makes a jump from 3 to 4, he's probably as likely as any to make a jump from 4 to 5. You know what I mean? Like, as opposed to a buck who's just grown incrementally every year, like when he hits 4 to 5, he's probably not going to make a jump all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And whether that's attributed to like his habitat that he's living in, or his genetics, or both, whatever it is, I think that deer, that if he makes a big jump from 2 to 3, you're probably going to see that deer make a big jump from 3 to 4, and then maybe 4 to 5 or whatever too.
Yeah, the buck I shot last year, his jump from 3 to 4 was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was like probably a 40-inch jump, wouldn't you say, Nate? I mean, it was an incredible jump.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what he did after that, but he went downhill. He's a 170-inch deer at 4.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. And he was 134 at 8.
Mm-hmm.
So he had went downhill.
Yeah.
But I'd like to know when he did between years.
Right.
Because I bet he was
like 4 to 5. Yeah. Yeah.
Stud.
Yep. That's also, like you're talking about those deer getting shot. We see so many of them during gun season.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is, what deer do you see running around in the rut most often?
2 and 3 year olds.
Yep. 2 and 3 year olds. Like,
they're also more everywhere. They're everywhere, so.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's part of what I was talking about there, however many weeks ago that's been now, on that one Friday episode, is like, if you just move it a little bit, there's probably not going to be as many 2 and 3 year old bucks die.
Mm-hmm. You hope.
Right. Probably more does. Because guys are going to get to the last day of the season and haven't shot anything, not going to shoot a doe, or their last day to hunt, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not necessarily the last day of the season, but, and then it might help balance out our buck to doe ratio as well. But, like, yeah, I definitely think a lot of those deer are dying at 2 and 3. And I think, too, and we've talked about this before, is like the bucks that would be killable at 5 and 6 are dying at 2 and 3, because it's just they're more naturally daylight active, as opposed to the ones that are more naturally active. More naturally nocturnal, we'll call it, are living to 4 and 5 because they're not, no one's shooting them.
Or they see that their buddy just died doing that. I'm not going to do that no more. The cover darkness.
Bill took one in the shoulder at 3 o'clock. I'm not going out.
What was that Jeff Foxworthy thing? Don't go out till it's dark.
Yeah. Does and fawns, and then the young bucks.
And for God's sakes, quit looking back.
You're giving away our position. Yeah. I like that one. And then the caribou buck or whatever.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one? Are you just jealous because you ain't never shot a buck that looks like this?
Oh, man. That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, those deer, I think, are definitely, and sure, they probably do change, too. Like, even if you have deer that are, they're going to be probably more daylight active at 3 and 4 for whatever reason. And maybe it is just because their range does kind of grow a little bit. They're at 5 and 6 and they're a little more active and running around because they kind of rule the roost. So they can run around farther. So maybe that makes a difference too, because if you're still close to where those deer want to be, you're going to see them in the daylight at some point, but it's a matter of being where they want to be.
Holding them, holding what they need, want.
Oh, that was, that same article said that a deer wants to be, so two things. It said all white-tailed deer, no matter where they're at, they want to be about 135-inch 8-point. Like, that's what they just naturally want to be, right? Like if they have no excess or whatever and they're not starved, pretty much wherever you're at, they want to be 8 points, they want to be about 135 inches. And the other thing it said was they really would like to stay on about 80 acres. Like if they had everything they wanted on 80 acres, they'd probably stay there. And I got to thinking about your deer herd, Nate. Like where you're at, they have, with the exception of like one like solid water source.
Yeah.
Like what's the reason for them to leave? Yeah. And that's probably why you see a lot of the same deer year to year throughout the season, I think. Because you have good place for them to bed. You have food for them. There's decent cover.
If you had a good system, good normal year, you probably have a decent water source.
Because the creeks.
Your two creeks on each side.
Yeah.
Yep.
There is a spring out there on the neighbor in that field. So there is normally a big deep pool on the west side over there. Neither of you have been to that new stand, that new ladder stand. But anyway, there is a big deep pool.
Is that the one you filmed those bucks out of early November?
That's the east side.
Nope. Yeah, that was down there at the south end of the Sprout Patch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, where that big waterway comes off of that field, where all them cane patches and everything are out there, there's a spring right in there just off of us, but it feeds a big deep pool right there.
Yeah.
That creek makes, that waterway makes a big bend when it comes in, and there's a big deep pool with black water in it. I mean, it's nasty, you know, at this point.
Right.
But if that's all you got, I suppose that's all. That's all you got, and you're gonna use it.
Yep.
But yeah, I would like to try to get a little pond in the North Woods if I could, get my hands on a little track hoe or something. And I'd probably most guys are putting liners in them. I think I'd have to put a liner in it if I really wanted it to work.
Right. Just to keep it holding water, you think?
Yep. Yep. Because if I went to all that work, I'd like to make sure it didn't get away from me.
Right.
But anyway, if I could get a little pond there at the east end of that woods, I think that'd be really good. Because I'm going to have bedding to the west of that, and I'm going to have bedding to the east of that. So, I mean, technically, if the creeks are full, you know, if there's water in the creeks, they'll have water. And if I put that pond in there, they could go either east or west out of either of these two spots. I'm going to want to try to bed them. And they'd have water, and then they'd be food right there next to them, you know, pretty much any direction. But anyway, I don't know.
It sounds like going to the China buffet, if you ask me.
Yep. I was going to say I don't need to do any more food, but here I'm thinking I'm going to plant a couple acres of corn next year, and I've never done that. But anyway... I need to capitalize on bedding. I need to up my bedding game. Because, I mean, you look there, I mean, where I'm at there really is food everywhere. I mean, they go a quarter mile and they get anything they ever want to eat at night, you know.
Most of the season.
Yeah, out around there. But I want to try to get them absolutely dynamite bedding, if I can. And then the little food plots that I got that should be enough for them, you know. When they get up, they go mess with them, and then they go feed in the big fields like they always do.
I think if you get your bedding set where you want it, and if you did that plot where you've got the rhinos blind on this year, if you planted that to some grains with those greens like you have it, like we talked about moving those greens down a little bit.
Yes.
You would have a very similar setup to what I was hunting the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And I really think late season, we talked about that before, that could be a really good spot. Like if, let's say you haven't bucked out by the end of November, early December. Like if you had a deer that you wanted to go hunt for this late in the year, that could be a really good spot to do it.
I think so.
And you would probably pull some different deer.
Yeah.
Because what other late, unless they're planting winter wheat, like let's say on a bean year, what food do they have right now?
No. If there's beans there to the north and west of me, it's never great. They're going somewhere else. But if it's corn like it is, they just they stay.
Yeah.
And they just pile out in that cornfield.
Yeah.
Because there's corn everywhere out there.
Yeah.
What
do they do? Shell it with a gleaner?
Yeah. The silver cedar.
Uh-huh.
No, there's normally corn out there everywhere.
Yeah.
But if there's beans, they're just, man, they're never really as much for them. Unless sometimes they'll eat on natural stuff that comes out there, you know, little green stuff that comes up out there.
Yeah, I think they do eat some of the, well, you see them eating that broadleaf stuff. I think even in the cornfields, a lot of times they do that.
Yeah.
They get out there and they pick through the corn that's there too, but you'll see a lot of that broadleaf stuff come up in it, and they eat that too.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is at the North Farm this year, part of the problem.
Nah, the biggest problem was.
Well, there's a lot of big problems, but. Part of the problem is there's nothing, no reason for them to be there right now, whereas on a corn year, and like last year they had winter wheat, which I was informed they're not going to be doing that anymore. But even when they got the corn shelled, like there's still that residual left, and there's a little bit left, and there's reason for them to be there. It's even into December, you know, but like right now, they had beans there. They just got nothing. I planted those, broadcast into those beans, but and they did okay.
Mm-hmm.
For what it was, but it didn't get. If it had got a little more rain, it'd have been better. Then maybe they got something. But
if somebody had spread a bunch of compost, turkey barn compost, where I was wanting to eat, I'd go somewhere else too.
That's true. That was another factor, but not much I can do there. Just what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, correct. I get it. I get why they do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, like they knifed in all that hog manure from that. The hog barn is there close to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They pump that stuff all in there. And it smelled pretty rough for a couple of days, but at least all that was, you know, underground.
Right.
Their knife tracks still give off plenty of scent.
I bet they do.
But, yeah, I mean, they knifed all that in. Yours was, you know, dry litter that they just slung all over the ground, and it never rained.
No, it didn't after that. That place probably still stinks.
Because I kept thinking, you know, once it rains on that a time or two, it'll be... you know, decent.
Mm-hmm.
Them deer will probably come back. They'll probably eat canyon stuff. No, it never rained, so it just stunk.
Yep. I haven't gotten maybe 3 pictures of deer eating that. Oof. Like 3 pictures.
Yeah.
not like 3 days of pictures. 3 pictures.
And it's just a little spike with a clothespin on his nose.
Yeah.
Standing there eating their stuff.
Yeah. The last time I went last week, I hunted the blind over that food plot. Why not? And then anywhere else to be. It's day after Christmas. And it was about 4:00. And I hear, bah! Oh, this is great. Coming down the road. Somebody on their Honda four-wheeler with their tin can on the back of it, 2 of them, come 30 yards by the tracks from my truck. I know they saw my truck. Had to have saw my truck parked there. I parked on the very south side of the property. I can't remember if you've been down there or not. Yeah, where we parked to walk into turkey hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I was parked there. They came flying down that, which is actually a county road where the bridge is on.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
They turned up there. Yeah, that's why there's a bridge that's marked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it's on the map, too. Anyway, they turned there. The tracks went 30 yards from my truck. They came and made, I don't know if you remember, where we tracked Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
We walked in. There's that ditch, and then it cuts and runs to the southeast,
mm-hmm.
and there's a little patch of timber right around that ditch. They came in, I don't know, 150 yards away from me. They ran like 3 hot laps around that block of timber, ran 2 deer out of it, and then left. That was, yeah.
Good grief.
And they ran something out of the timber straight across from me on the neighbors over there, straight to the west.
Man.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I wasn't planning on seeing deer anyway. But when they did that and then they ran them out of there, I was like...
just confirmed it.
Yeah. And like, why?
Yeah.
You literally saw the truck there. You know, what else would I have been doing?
Yeah.
Like...
man.
And if I was a betting man, I'd say they probably didn't have permission to be where they were at, just a guess. But yeah, they came and wrapped around that thing a couple times and left.
Gosh.
It was awesome. It was almost like your dogs that came through. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Dogs were challenging
mm-hmm.
this year, to say the least.
That always reminds me of one of the first 2 Team Harvest DVDs. I don't remember which one it was, but One of the guys was hunting, and these two dogs came in. He turns to the cameraman, "Which one you want? I'll take him. I'll take him." that's about where you get to, especially a deal like that.
Man, that one.
The one that was carrying the leg bone, and he's just happy as all get out. Right through there.
It was
prize.
I was fuming. He had a whole back leg of a young deer. It wasn't huge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big dog, but it was a whole back leg, you know, hide hanging off of it and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And then that other black dog, he comes screaming out of there, kicked up that, probably 125, 130-inch 8-pointer that we'd been watching.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know where he went. That black dog found him.
He found him, didn't he?
It's about 70 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was off to the races. Gosh, that was aggravating.
Mm-hmm. You still been running your cameras, didn't
he? I just pulled them cameras out of there, I don't know, last weekend, I think. Got some good pictures of that buck that I didn't shoot that morning.
You didn't shoot that.
The split G28.
Oh, yeah. Those cameras. Okay. Yeah.
Got some good pictures of him. Nothing bigger. Wendell killed that one real goofy buck over there, which I had seen last year. But Wendell got him, I think it was second day of gun season. I did not have any pictures of him. So I'm saying that buck that we saw was probably the biggest one around there.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it through. I had his picture, I think, December 20th or so.
Yeah.
So he made it through. And then at home, just a bunch of does, little bucks.
Nothing worth looking
at, really.
Not
too much movement. Nope.
Has your Circle 8 came back?
No. I think he probably is the one that got winged.
He took a round.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if I go look for him or not, you know.
Yeah.
I think he's got to be dead somewhere there on me or on the neighbors to the southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he done some kind of circle and he's in there where they shot him, you know. But I haven't got pictures of him in, tomorrow will be 2 weeks. I guess today's the 14th day since they had shot him. But anyway, that's probably him.
Yeah.
What I call the West Draw 8-pointer. He's everywhere now. Mainly
You're
at
still
night.
Seeing him?
Yeah, mainly at night, but he's everywhere. He goes everywhere.
I think he's probably three, right?
Yeah.
That we said?
Yeah. 120, you know. He's probably not going to be one of them that ever gets very big.
Right.
There's a good chance. Depending on what shows up, I mean, there's that one buck that's got brow tines that's got a split brow on that one side.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up. Like the end of the first week in November, and immediately broke a G2 off when he came over there.
Yeah,
the neighbor that he
six
came
six by
from,
five probably immediately broke it off for him.
Correct. Yeah, because the neighbor where he came from, he's like, "Hey, you got anything that looks like this?" And I was like, "Well, he just showed up." He's like, "Well, I didn't shoot him."
Right.
You know? He said I wasn't sure what it was, and I was like, "Good, let's leave him alone."
Mm-hmm.
And then. I immediately, like the next day, that thing had a broken G2, so I'm sending him pictures. I was like, your young bucks come over here and just get their butts kicked.
Yeah. Yep.
But he's not been a super regular, you know, like once every 2 weeks he'd make a pass there, and I've only ever got him on the West Plot, which is exactly the same as I think it was 2015. They had a big 6x6. They shot him, and unfortunately, they never found him. Mm-hmm. But he did live because his horns was found about 2 miles away.
That's
from
one where they got the sheds, right?
Yeah. That just blows my mind that he made it based on where they say they hit him.
Right.
You know. But anyway, that's the same thing, deer, that we have shared in the past. I will only ever get them on my West Plot.
Yep.
You know, he sees them fairly often. I will only ever get them on my West Plot. They won't come in any further.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just check that very edge, according to the cameras. Who knows what they actually do?
Right. It gives you a pretty good idea, though.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, of bucks that we share with the neighbor to the northwest, they hit that edge right there.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of bucks that are a long way from where they were, you guys seen that on the, that potential record buck?
Yeah.
Is that Ohio?
Ohio. Yeah.
So I've heard different things, but... Like, evidently, There was a picture of it like 20 miles from where it was allegedly shot on the same day. A trail camera picture of that deer. And
which is the, did you hear that the guy that had the pictures was the district attorney?
Yes.
That's a terrible deer to go after. Yes. That's who's after him.
Man.
Yeah, I saw someone comment about that. And then, like, there was some people saying that maybe he killed it at night with a crossbow or something like that. But I don't know. I think the only real evidence that I've heard is the picture thing.
Yeah, the story I got, he shot it in the, was it the night, and they waited till the next morning to go get it, and they found it. But all the pictures are them holding it in the grass in the middle of the night.
Right.
Like, that does not add up to me.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Like, they have the pictures of them, all the pictures of them is at night. Mm-hmm. Like, the picture that's been going around.
And he said he found it in the morning.
Yeah. And then the picture of it 20 miles from where he allegedly shot it.
Yeah. And he used his buddy's crossbow on his sister's properties where he said he was hunting, and it turns out he was trespassing.
Yeah, I don't know. Which I don't, if it was his sister's property.
That's what he said.
Okay, so it's not confirmed that it was his sister's property.
Well, I thought that came out that the DNR has already charged him and they took possession of the rack.
They do have possession of the deer, I heard today, but I don't know if it's ongoing investigation type of thing.
I thought they charged him already, is what I heard. I don't know.
They may have. I'm not sure. Anyway, if the district attorney's involved, he may have already been charged.
Yeah.
Especially if he likes deer.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like he was after him.
If he had a camera out, yeah. Anyway, that was...
That's a bad deal for him.
I was going to listen. He was on the Hunter podcast.
Yeah.
I was going to listen to that one before we talked about it, but I didn't. No, I didn't, because I was looking to see where their reaction.
Their reaction was, there were people saying, you need to have him back on to see what this says about this. He's like... Their comment was, it's kind of hard when he's going to be sitting in jail.
So they were like...
They could tell they were...
Yeah. They were kind of like, okay, screw this guy.
Basically.
How crappy would that be if we had a guy come on like that killed...
A potential new record.
We have him on. We get like this exclusive interview or whatever with him. And then we find out like a month later that he shot the thing with a 270 out of the window of his Ford Ranger with a great big spotlight.
Yep.
It might be even better. Yep. I mean, I mean,
if you have any locals around here, that could be happening.
I was getting ready to say, I could see that with several people.
Yeah.
And we did have Richard on talk about his 200, and I promise that was not what happened with his. Like, there's no thought in my mind of him doing that. But, like, if we had a guy on that shot a potential world record buck, and then we come to find out he poached the thing, I don't know. That would be, I would want to have him back on. We might want to do a phone interview. I don't know if you'd want him on in person.
How long do they get to talk in jail?
Yeah. Your first phone call. We'll pay you to make it to us. Or your only phone call.
I'm not taking nothing away from that deer. He's a monster.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But he ain't going to be anywhere close to the record with that common point.
Right.
His left G2 and 3, like the way they come off.
No, he was going to be the state. Like number 3 state record, I think.
Yeah.
Like it was 207.
Because it was potentially the new state record, right?
Yeah, it wasn't going to be the world. It was going to be state.
Yeah.
It was 207 is what the gross was.
Yeah.
But, no, net was 207, but net's for fishing. We go by gross around
here. That's right.
For sure, yeah. That's right. I mean, I wish gross core is all that they cared about for, you know, that should be all that matters.
Because it's antler. Yeah, I mean...
But like the way they would measure him, he won't get that mass measurement. You know, they're gonna call that a common point.
I get it for keeping. I think you do need some way to keep a non-typical separate from a typical, because to me that's like a 180-inch typical deer versus like a 200-inch non-typical deer.
Yeah,
is like equally as impressive.
Yeah,
depending on what the non-typical looks like. You know what I mean?
Or depends on what the typical is. If it's an 8-pointer. I want you.
Well, right. I think there should be a separate, like, this record, like I have now, typical versus non-typical. Because, like, if there could be a deer that is just a mainframe 8, but if he's got junk all over the place, like, you could take a 140-inch deer to 170 or 160, like, not, I don't know, versus a deer that's legit, like, bona fide typical that's 180, 190 inches, like.
But... But typical still net.
Yeah, forget gross or net or.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't know how you would keep it separate.
You know?
Like if you go non-typical gross score, typical net, but yeah, I don't know. Hmm. What do you? You'd have to come up with a way to. Because you wouldn't want to say, like, if they have any non-typical point, now they have to be non-typical. Because you could have one like that that has one common point, and now instead of being, like, let's say 180-inch typical, that would be, like, record-class deer. He's now, like, 180-inch non-typical, and that's, like, pfft, nothing.
Yeah.
Not nothing, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
When it comes to the books.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you would do it, but I think maybe that's why, because you have to have separate. I would want to keep them separate still. Typical and non-typical.
Jackie Bushman figured all this out with the Buckmaster scoring system.
He did?
I'm just teasing. I don't know anything about it. But I know he has three categories.
Okay.
There's perfect, there's semi-irregular, and there's irregular.
I think. They make medicine for that kind of stuff.
But yeah, I know that Buckmasters breaks it down even more. But I do not know anything about the Buckmaster scoring system.
Yeah, I forgot they even had one.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. But they tried to break it down even more.
There's a guy that maybe we need to talk to sometime because he stopped by the booth at one of the shows. And maybe it was the Deer and Beer. He's trying to get a whole separate record book for crossbows.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it's, I don't think they'll recognize him right now as an archery thing, which is like, okay, fine. But it would be, like, if you had your own, if they have a record for crossbows, I think it should be their own thing. Does that make sense? So, like, I don't think firearm deer should be in the same category as crossbow deer. I don't think crossbow deer should be in the same category as archery deer. So, like, yeah. That's another thing, like, not a scoring system, but, like, a record book. If Division. They had the, which apparently this guy was trying to get, I think was his big thing he was pushing for. He was trying to get people on board with getting a crossbow record book. That way, if you shoot a 200 this year with a crossbow, at least you'd be recognized for something. At the same time, it's still not recognized as the same as an archery, regular archery tackle.
Ain't that what the one out of Indiana was?
It was crossbow buck, yeah.
It was crossbow. Yeah. The Huff buck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a crossbow.
That's what they said. So I don't know how. I don't know. But they're a case in point. I think they should have separate. And maybe that's what this guy was doing. Maybe he was saying, like, we should have separate crossbow and regular archery.
Because they say that that's the biggest typical buck ever killed in the lower 48. I mean, in
yeah, because that other one was in Saskatchewan, right?
Yeah, the correct. Was it the Johnson?
Milo Hansen,
yeah.
Yeah. That's like the big typical buck.
Right? That is the typical world
record. That was actually in that the same edition that just came out of that North American Whitetail, there were three 200-inch deer killed in the same 8-day period.
Were they hunting?
No, they were, like, just around. It was, like, 1995 or something. Like, the 15th to the 23rd, I think it said. There was a 201. That Milo, what did you say last name was?
Hansen.
That buck. And then there was a, what was it? I forget what it was. But anyway, it was the highest gross scoring typical buck ever killed, all within 8 days. And this, the highest gross scoring typical buck had 32-inch main beam on one side, I think.
So, like, I thought I heard that Ohio buck, you know, in question had 32-inch beams.
Yeah, he's got the frame on that thing was insane.
Yeah,
yeah, wild.
Yeah.
So should we have a
call him up?
Archery bucks, crossbow bucks, firearm bucks, illegally taken bucks. should they have a record buck?
We need to get that guy.
Oh,
on.
Yeah, the guy in Texas.
Yeah, that crazy guy.
Which one's that?
What is his name?
They call him the Prince of Poachers.
Yeah.
I don't know
his
name. Look up the YouTube series on that guy.
Oh, my.
He bounced between the King Ranch and what's the ranch right next to it?
I don't know.
But he would just sit out there and just poke giants.
Like,
and get
like,
in there with them for a couple days at a time and just rattle them in and just.
I think he stayed out there for weeks.
Yeah.
And like, he took camping.
I am not that dedicated.
He took camping stuff.
Like, I thought Bill Winky was crazy for staying a night.
No, this guy was hardcore.
And, like, he absolutely knew everything he was doing was illegal.
Right.
and loved it.
And he didn't care at all.
Was he in jail now?
No.
No, he's on podcast. Like,
yeah, talk.
The statute of limitations is up, I guess.
Yeah. I think he finally got caught.
I think, yeah.
I can't remember.
Like, I see excerpts of him all the time.
Yeah.
And that makes me question, why am I seeing him all the time? I'd like to not see
right
people of that notoriety.
Exactly.
All the time. But he's on there all the time.
This is where we need a Jamie, like on the Joe Rogan, so we could have him pull it up. Because yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, yeah. This guy's out there.
He's still got a crazy look in his eye. I can only imagine what he was like when he was doing this stuff. And right. he talks about it.
Hiding from all the ranchers because they were after him, and the game wardens were after him.
They knew he was in there. Like,
what did you say this guy's name was? Because when you said crazy eye, I got a picture.
Prince of Poaching.
They call him the Prince of Poachers.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching one just this week, and he said, I was laying in there. He said, I was getting ready to rattle again. I rattled about 20 minutes ago, and that sounded like that's what he did. He just rattled, and these things had come running in, and he'd just kill them. And he killed, like, everyone that he wanted to that he saw.
Oh, not the guy I was thinking of.
So he...
Is it this guy?
Yeah. That's in his younger days.
Okay, sure, not the guy I was thinking of, but...
Picture him older and white hair, no beard anymore. But, yeah, he said he heard something jingling, and he said, I sat there for a minute, and I thought, oh, no, that's, that's saddle tack, you know, on a horse. And he said, I was looking. He said, finally, here it came. He said, 20 yards away from me, here come this U.S. Marshal on a horse. Or something like that. Some guy mounted up on a horse, a cop mounted up on a horse.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm laying there watching. And he said, just as soon as I thought I could, he said, I grabbed my stuff and I just slipped out of there. And, I mean, how close were they? I mean, it was right on him, you know, and he slid out of there. And he talks about building little fires, and he had a frying pan. He took a whole bunch of Bisquick with him, and he was cooking the loins on these things that he'd shot. And he said, I was living like a king out there. He said, I'm just eating a little bit, you know, the best parts of these things that I'm shooting. He said, I'm bouncing around wherever. And I forget how long he said he stayed out there. And then I thought he said there was a designated spot. A guy was supposed to be at, like, sundown on Sunday or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if I wasn't there in 5 minutes, that guy was supposed to leave and come back and get me the next week. Like, that was the interval that he gave, you know. He's willing to stay out there for another week and keep trying, you know.
At that point, it's not he's not out there because he wants to kill a big deer. He's out there because he wants to be.
Yeah.
Like, he's just out there because he likes doing illegal stuff.
Yeah. And and just seeing how much he can get by with.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's just adrenaline slash whatever junkie, psychopath.
I think he killed 12 to 15, like, trophy bucks while he was out there doing this, you know. And, like, on somebody's place, I wouldn't imagine he had any idea. He knew what the ranch was, but, like,
right.
You don't know these people. Or
yeah.
You know, I could not imagine just running amok through the woods for a day.
No.
You know, let alone whatever that guy was doing.
And not just a little ranch, like the King Ranch. Yeah. The monster ranch down there.
Yeah, that's...
He says that he can't go out and honestly kill a deer anymore. Or if he did, no one would ever believe him.
Yeah.
Even if it was on camera, they would not believe him.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like he earned that.
Correct. You got to live with what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. So is he, like, supposed to be a changed man now? Or
I don't think he hunts anymore.
No. I'm guessing he probably can't legally if he got caught.
Nope.
He talks about his stories are nuts.
I bet they are. So now he's famous for being a piece of crap.
Yeah.
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 But the story's
and
good.
We've just made him even more, well, I mean, we've contributed a tiny bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I see him all the time on
TikTok.
Facebook Reels.
See, I've never
TikTok.
Heard of the guy. I think this says a lot about the character of the people in this room.
That's because
they say that stuff is curated.
Correct. That's kind of where I was going with it when I started, but yeah. I just kept going.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he, like...
Nate brought him up.
His stories are just nuts. He's like, you know, I'm sitting there, and he said, it's 150, I rattle. He just comes running in. He said he stops 20 yards away, and he's looking, you know. And he said, I'm waiting for the one behind him, you know. He says, here comes 165, 170. He said, that's the ones we're after. He said there was another guy, I think, doing the same thing, and he said that guy took like a dozen 150-inch racks that he'd poached over the course of a few weeks. He just threw them in a dumpster because he didn't want them anymore. He's like, them didn't mean anything to him. He only wanted the 180s.
That's crappy. You know? Like, I mean, to keep it PG.
Yeah, and just the waste and the...
Oh, yeah.
And just, I don't even...
And all for what?
I don't even know what a guy would get out of that if... I don't know. It's just nuts.
Yeah. It's kind of the same as even, to me, some of those guys that like... they're big-time jerks, but they kill all these big deer, but no one wants to talk to them, or no one ever wants to go hunting with them or nothing. And then they've got this big trophy room with dust all over their deer and no good stories to go with them or nobody to share it with. It's like, congrats. Like, this is where you got yourself. What do you get out of that? You can say you killed some big deer, but who cares?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's a lot of people like that that reap what you sow, I guess.
Yep.
Oh, before we get out of here, I just thought of this while we were talking. This is the first episode of the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is going to come out
January 1.
Monday, January 1. So hopefully everybody had a good New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
Made it home safe. Or if you're not home yet, hopefully you do make it home safe. You're probably not listening to this early in the morning. And if you are, I apologize if we were too loud. But favorite moment from 2023... What do you got for, like, we'll keep it to hunting or outdoors, whatever.
Nate, you're up.
I could have gave you guys time to prepare, but I didn't think about this either till just now. Well, about 10 minutes ago.
I suppose when I shot that 6x5 or honestly when I missed him with a bow.
The first time or the second time?
The
second time you shot him. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's probably a minute in between the shots with the gun. Maybe not that long, maybe 30 or 40 seconds. But honestly, when I missed him with a bow, I mean, I was pretty charged up when he was coming in.
Oh, yeah. You know,
he's all bristled up and
mm-hmm.
I was pretty charged up then. I got pretty calm before I shot him with a gun. You know, I took my time and really got calmed down. But it would have meant a whole lot more if I'd have got him with a bow that morning with you, you know.
Yeah.
It'd have been a whole lot better to get him with a bow. But I got him nonetheless.
You got him nonetheless.
I'm tickled with him.
Oh, yeah.
But that was good. I had a good year. I seen a lot. A lot of my plans worked pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly. And I learned some stuff this year. I mean, some of the stuff that I was confident they'd do the way I wanted, they did it different.
Right.
You know, they're smarter than me.
When it comes to that, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. Any of the times that I shot at the 6x5. Yeah,
that's a good one.
That'd be my favorites.
Yep. And this is excluding January, because I don't think any of us, I think I shot a doe on the last day of the season last year.
I think you did.
Last year?
Yeah.
But that would not be up there for me. Anyway, Blake?
Oh, when high rise fell over.
Yeah.
When he fell over.
I think that's probably a lot of people's favorite Ridge Hunter Outdoors moment of the year, when a high rise went down.
There's a crazy man in a hurricane, and something really good just happened to him.
In a hurricane.
The hurricane force winds were very high.
That is like low, like where a lot of times I'll go from the highest to highest to the lowest to lowest. You kind of went from the lowest to lowest to highest to highest, because I know you were sitting there thinking, like, you said it on the podcast, like, why am I here?
Yeah, I was like, I even said it in like one of the interviews, but you couldn't hear it because the wind was so bad.
Yeah.
This is stupid. Why am I here?
Uh-huh.
It's like a Chinese movie. You can see his lips moving, but there ain't no noise.
It's terrible. But yeah, because I didn't have anything built up because it happened so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watched him fall over, it poured out.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
And the first buck, I was worked up before, and then I didn't get a pass through, and he didn't fall over, and that was an ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
So my high went real low yeah. real quick.
It came back up.
Yeah. But
the neighbor or the landowner finding that deer is up there for me.
Yeah.
Because that was... Like, I wish I could have kept the camera rolling.
Yeah, we just didn't know how he would be around a camera, so we didn't record it.
But like the way that happened, you could not have scripted. If we had recorded that, people would have thought we scripted it.
Yeah.
Because we're walking, and I know we talked about this before, but walking through there, just like, oh, hey, here comes a landowner. I'm looking at the other guy that was with us. Like, I don't see anybody. What's he talking about? And then sure enough, you see this guy bobbing through the woods. Lake hollers, hey, you see anything up that way? Yeah, he's right here. What? Yeah, sure enough.
That guy probably smelled him out.
Blake did when we first got there.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys smell something?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, I think he said it in the video.
Yeah, I said it right as we started. Like, you guys smell something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bloodhound.
That one was up there, too, because it's just the whole... For one, it was the first buck we were going to have on camera, whether we got the kill shot or not. Like, that was fall pursuit, opening day. We have at least a recovery on camera. So it was cool when you called me and told me you shot him.
You called me.
Yeah, because you sent a Snapchat, and I called you because, like, you're a liar. But then I called you, and you said you'd shot him and gave me the story, and then going back and find him the next day was, the way it happened and turned out was a lot of fun.
I wish we had done that recovery different, because we didn't know what we was doing, obviously. We didn't record hardly much of anything on that right? morning.
Yeah.
We didn't do, like, an interview, like, saying what happened that morning. Like,
yeah, I wish we'd have done that. I wish I just would have sent a camera with you.
Yeah, I've been all right.
But anyway.
I mean, you could have relayed it to him and when he's bringing me the saw.
Mm-hmm. That you cut yourself with.
Wounded hunter scent.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what brought him in.
Human blood. It tracks him really good, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so.
What's yours?
It obviously ain't nothing that I've done. Shooting the doe is just shooting the doe. It was on camera, so that was kind of cool. That's the first deer I've ever killed on camera, which was a goal of mine for this year. However, I wanted to kill a buck on camera. Man, seeing that 6x5 come in with you would be up there. Because like you said, he's all worked up. And he was big still then. Mm-hmm. Like, he looked like a tank coming through there. And then just knowing that you're going to lace him when he steps out there. Because I was like, I was just calm as could be, like videoing him, like coming in. And then he stepped out in the open, and I was like, all right, kill him, because I thought he was perfect for you. And then he got behind the tree or whatever, and I'm like, I'm just sitting on him. I'm like, this is going to happen. He's dead now. And then it turned out the way it turned out. But he eventually killed him, obviously. That was up there, too, for sure. You missing that squirrel. Was definitely up there.
Then you missed a coyote.
Those are different days. But yeah, the coyote. Yeah.
I will say, recording him shoot that buck, I was worked up.
That was one of my favorites, too. I was going to say.
I was also going to come back in and say, I was surprisingly calm.
I was breathing heavy. Like, I was holding a bow.
But then, when that arrow hit him out there. And I mean, hit him good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes. Wow.
Yeah. Dude, dang it. Dang it, dude. Whatever it was. That's one of mine. I've watched that more than any other thing that we've shot this year. Except maybe my shot on that buck. Those two right there together. I watched that so many times.
His post after the shot, he's like, that arrow took a really long time to get there.
It is.
Man. And then you're talking about it after you were at full draw for like 45 seconds or whatever. You were like, I was just sitting there. I don't know if you could see me or not.
Something's got to happen.
Yep. Just step out so I can shoot at you.
Yep.
That one's up there. I don't know if I have just a one.
That shot was
We hunted
impressive.
Together for the first time, like before the season. I don't know if I'd talked to you a handful of times.
Yeah, we just.
Before the season at all.
Not much. But
like fire department stuff, maybe just seeing you around, but. So that's been cool for me. If I got to pick one that's something that happened to me or that I did, it was when that buck went up and we grunted at him, hearing him walk in and then seeing him pop up. I have dreamed of deer coming around that corner of the pond ever since I've hunted there, and they've never done it.
Man.
The dream normally ends with them in the food plot, not on the pond bank. But, like, seeing that buck pop out right there, hearing him knowing he's coming, like, that was... I was not shaking real bad or, like, real pumped up.
Didn't have time.
No. I had a little bit afterwards, but so I wouldn't say I was like incredibly excited, but like that's what you how you want him to come in. Like you can hear him and
yeah.
you grunt at him, and he's kind of worked up. And he's looking for it, and then just him. When I said, "Let me know when you see him," and then you said, "There," and then I saw his rat coming through. That's up there for me because that was like perfect November morning.
I was gonna say it was a beautiful morning.
Yeah,
it was.
Him,
it
was. Even though we didn't get the deer, like that, leading up to the shot had to be up there for me because mm-hmm. nothing last January would have touched that. Nothing really early season. Getting to film dad hunting was cool. I wish we'd have killed the doe that night. If we'd have killed the deer, that would have been my favorite one because we had a good hunt. The night that the shed buck was on the new plot, and we couldn't have hunted it, but we had a good hunt. But if he'd have killed something, that probably would have been up there. But, yeah, I'd say probably that buck coming in and just hearing him come in, watch him come around the corner that morning like you want him to do,
mm-hmm.
that's up there. That's that and probably the 6x5 morning I'd say are tied because both of those are kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. That morning till it got to 30 minutes after light was pretty western.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good hunt.
There was deer everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Bucks everywhere. And in that woods, it was just, that was hot that morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd say probably those two
Man, that,
would be at the top for me.
I wish like crazy I would have had a tree arm the day I killed him.
Yeah.
Man.
I will say, too,
you
like,
got one.
I brought it with me.
Yeah. Not one specific moment, but like an overarching thing is saying we're going to do it, filming, producing, and posting what I think is a pretty decent hunting show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's on YouTube, it's not on TV. But that's another thing. Like, when I was a kid growing up watching these guys hunt on TV, like, that's, as far as hunting goes, all I've ever wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Film hunts and make a show.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that at least.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, it's not Heartland Bowhunter yet. But we've got a season almost in the books of a full show,
mm-hmm.
filmed, hunted, filmed, produced, posted, like.
With some success.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've killed deer doing it. So that's, if I had it, if that's allowed, then I guess that would probably be my top.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to produce a hunting show. That's been cool.
And that's all right here at home.
That's right. I think that's a cool aspect to it, too, that not only local people appreciate, but we talked about this at the beginning. Like, there's not that many people in our neck of the woods that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the guys you see on TV are in Iowa, or
they're going
to Iowa or Kansas. Or
I mean, I guess this place to the east of us.
There's some guys in Illinois, but a lot of the big successful ones, and even the internet-based shows now, most of them are not Southern Illinois for sure. Like,
I mean, there is some that come.
Yeah.
Some guys come in here and do that.
Right.
But they're not from
Occasionally,
here.
But they're not. They're not based here. And I know there's guys based here, too, that are working on doing the same thing we're out doing, you know. But, like, we've got a chance to be one of the first, like, successful, if we make it that far, shows based out of Southern Illinois. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's because there's no others that have done it yet. And that's not saying the one other guys that are where we're at now aren't going to beat us to it or, like, do it. But we're right there. I mean, and I feel like not tooting our own horn or whatever, but we have the right personnel and we have the access to the deer. And I think we do a good enough job. We care enough about the final product that we're on a good pace.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this year will be growth for the YouTube channel still. Like we talked about at the beginning, 3,500 is way above, far exceeded my expectations for this year. So 2024 will be hopefully a lot of fun when it comes to that too.
Mm-hmm.
So let's wrap it here. 2024, what's a goal, whether it be, we'll call it like property related, deer related, ridge hunter related, whatever. Well, give me one goal for the year, and then that way at the end of next year, at the end of 2024, we can come back and see how far off of them we were.
Yep.
Kill a mature buck on camera. Put on camera in capital letters.
Yes.
Kill shot.
On camera. Kill shot on camera. All right, that's a fair one. That's fair. Hopefully I'll get to make that happen in the next few days, but that's for me.
I was going to say, that's for me.
You want to kill a buck on camera. In focus.
Gosh dang.
Well, dude, if we're being specific,
I'm just going for on camera.
Because Nate did kill his on camera.
I'm talking about for me, even if it's self-filming it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine, I'm going to say property, bedding. Mm-hmm. I'll make some dynamite bedding.
Get some of that stuff done. And
he yep. said that for 3 years now, though.
Yes, but now it's on record. That red light right there stands for record.
I can't take it back. I can't take it back.
You know what's going to happen? He's going to be sitting in his recliner. Gosh, I need to go out there. But you got to go do it? No, I like my recliner too much.
Maybe a tornado will come through and just knock there it all go. Down.
Natural bedding. Yep. I would say a buck on camera is a good one. Because I want to do that. Because like I said, I had a goal for this year to kill a deer on camera because I'd never done that I can remember. Got close a couple times. Definitely a buck on camera, but I think killing a mature buck at the cabin on the 10 acres there is probably my goal, which has been a goal of mine for a while, and I've had opportunities to do it, but I have not sealed it all the way to the recovery. So that is my number one goal, and leading into that will be some habitat improvements and stuff as well. But, like, that's the final end goal for me, is to kill a mature buck on that 10-acre piece to prove it can be done. Break the curse. Mm-hmm. Break the cabin curse is my goal.
The mold needs to be broken.
Yes, because I've killed a lot of does there. I've killed some younger bucks there. I've never killed and found a mature buck there. So I got to break the curse in 2024. That's the goal. For Ridge Hunter, if we can hit 5,000 subscribers, I'm going to call that good. That's 1,500 more. We might hit that in the next month. We might slow down and not hit it for the year.
When you shoot one of these monsters.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the next couple days.
Yeah, without poaching it.
That's yes. a big key.
Yeah. I hope so. I think we're going to keep after
it. Hope you don't poach it or what?
Yeah, that too. I might come to that point. No, I'm just kidding. Tim, I didn't mean that. No, I hope so. We're supposed to stay after it, so.
You shoot one of these monsters that you know are in the area right there where where you're at right now. Shoot one of these big things. Perfect video. He comes in there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be able to post that. 5,000 right there.
Yep. We're going to claim it's like in Kansas, and I did all the work at this particular place, and yes. I made the plans for this and put in the food plots myself with my bare hands. I used a horse-drawn plow to put in these food plots.
Worked so
I
hard.
I did it with a traditional bow.
Working so hard, you killed the horse.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I thought about that the last few days hunting there. I'm like, I have nothing to do with this. Like, all I got to do is make the shot. I've done nothing to earn this.
You're just a mercenary.
Yeah. Sounds like someone that's sitting right here next to me on my spot.
He at least helped you put up the stand.
No, he didn't. He just sat there under the bottom and looked at me the whole time.
Well, he was making sure you were safe.
I cut a couple limbs.
But yeah, I hope that happens.
I cut the limbs to open that lane up to where I shot it.
Yeah,
it worked out great for me. Yep.
There you go.
I want to be able to shoot over there.
Oh shoot! We got anything else we want to close with before we get out of here? I think that's a good place to leave it.
Happy New Year.
That's right. Happy New Year.
Consider who you vote for carefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big year for that. Remember all your hunting rights when you go to the booth.
If you're hunting, keep hunting hard.
That's right. Still got tags.
Good luck.
I'm out there with you. I'm finally seeing some promise in the last few days because I'm hunting with somebody else, but got to do what you got to do.
Living that blind life.
That's right. Man, that's hard to beat. Maybe that's another goal. We need to get a hard-sided blind. Maybe we can get a rhino's hard-sided blind this year.
The only one that can afford it is this guy.
Whatever. My gosh.
He just had to put a roof on his house this year. He can't afford that.
Yeah.
I
had to buy a whole house, so.
Well, yeah, okay.
I did ask how much a hard blind was the other day.
See? There we go.
I'm not going to lie. Look at me. I do not look like I'm a hard worker.
Dude, that was...
Hard blind life.
Late season, hard-sided blind over food with a French vanilla cappuccino or hot chocolate or a coffee.
I'm going to give my hats off to you, because if I was you, I'd have gave up about 2 weeks ago.
I could get used to that.
3 weeks ago.
Anyway, maybe that's another goal for the year. Get us some hard-sided blinds. That's going to do it, though, for this week. If you guys are good with that, we'll leave it right there. Good luck, everybody who's still out there hunting. good luck this upcoming year. Hopefully, we've got big things coming for you. Appreciate you tuning in for the last couple years, and hopefully, you'll stick with us.